Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of your holy word, by which you have made us your own dear children through faith in Christ our Redeemer. We pray tonight that you would again stir up our hearts through the proclamation of this word, that we may be drawn to you through the pages of Holy Scripture, which are divinely inspired for our good and benefit. We pray this all in our Savior's name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, known as Sexagesima Week in the church year, we focus on the blessings that we receive as believers from the Word of God. And our text tonight is a reflection of that as well, taken from the second letter of St. Peter, the first chapter, and then beginning with verse 19. In the verses prior to this, Peter has been explaining the wonderful vision that he had to be able to see the transfiguration of our Lord in all of his glory. And he now finishes that section with these words. We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It's interesting when certain videos hit Facebook and go viral, and there are certain ones that probably everybody in this room sees. And quite often, it's especially if it's something that's rather spectacular that really draws attention. Can you imagine if iPhones would have been around in the first century AD to record some of the miraculous events in the life of Jesus, or especially his transfiguration, as we just mentioned beforehand? Can you imagine the day that Jesus fed the 5,000? What it would have been like if people had iPhones recording this miraculous event of all of the food that was even left over, starting from so little? Or possibly some of the great healings, or the resurrection of Lazarus from the grave, the transfiguration of Christ. Can you imagine how viral those things would have been? Certainly God had them recorded in Holy Scripture for us. We know also that there were many eyewitnesses to them, and there are records of these types of events, sometimes even outside of Scripture as well. How many of us would have loved to have been present to witness some of these things firsthand? What it would have been like to actually watch the young man of Nain get up off of his coffin, or to watch somebody with a withered hand suddenly be healed, or a blind man receive his sight. Just think how amazing that would have been. St. Peter, the author of our text tonight, had the privilege of witnessing many of these miracles and then got to see a glimpse of our Lord in his glory at his transfiguration. And as I mentioned before, in the verses right before our text, Peter has talked for a little bit about how fantastic this was and how amazing it was to see Christ in his glory. And then during that incident, to hear the voice of the Father saying from the majestic glory, we hear the words, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." When someone experiences an impressive sight like that, and maybe you've experienced something that is just phenomenal that nobody else could imagine, it's understandable that someone just goes on and on describing it and wanting to explain it to people. Some people write books about it. Some people make movies about things like this. Some people dedicate their whole life to a tremendous experience that they have that maybe is just so far out of the pale of anything else. We wouldn't have blamed Peter, if you will, for going on for a few chapters about what it was like to witness Christ and to see Moses and Elijah standing next to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Just can't imagine what that was like. But isn't it interesting that he only spends a couple of verses on it, and then he very quickly turns our attention as his readers away from this experience he had to Scripture, to the Word of God. Listen to what he says about this inspired Word of God. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. In other words, more certain than me being an eyewitness watching all of this. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. And then he says this to us, his hearers. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. It's almost as if Peter is saying to us, his readers, I know you would love to experience the glory of Christ. I know you would love to be closer to him. I know you would love to have God come to you directly and stand in front of you. I know you would have loved to have seen all of the miracles and all of the glory of Christ. But I'm telling you this from God. You cannot get any closer to his Son and to God in this world than through his word. If you want to know him, know his word. Don't go chasing after supposed glimpses of Christ and other revelations of him that people claim that they have found around the world. Don't go waiting for and looking for Jesus to reappear and come to you and do something special in front of you in your life. I've had people tell me they've seen Jesus appear to them in barns and out in fields. Peter says, don't expect that. You do well, he says, to pay attention to the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. This is the Word that is more certain than even getting the opportunity to witness something firsthand about Christ. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I was working at a large printing company in town, and there was a guy that operated a press right next to me, and we would often take our breaks together. And very nice guy and professed Christian, and he knew that I was studying for the ministry. And one day during our lunch break, he said, could we sit over on the side? I want to talk to you about something. I said, sure. And he said, a couple of nights ago, Jesus came to me in my bedroom and stood at the base of my bed and told me that I should go become a pastor. And I was taken back by that. And he described how Jesus had shown up and glowed in his room while he woke up from sleep and was talking to him. And I listened, interestingly enough, but a couple of weeks or months later, we were talking about it again. And I brought up the incident. And I said, so do you have plans to go be a pastor? And he had kind of forgotten about the whole thing. And I said, do you mean to tell me that you honestly believe the Son of God stood at the base of your bed, miraculously glowing in the dark at night in your bedroom and told you to go be a pastor, and you're ignoring that? And he kind of didn't know what to answer. Jesus warns us that there will be people who claim to have had visions of him that will show up and come to us. But he says, don't go looking for these things. Now, there's something inside of us that feels like if I had that opportunity, I would be drawn to that. What a wonderful thing to get to experience. We'd like to think that our faith would be stronger if we got to experience that. I would be much more intense about my faith if I got to witness Christ in that way. Wouldn't this make being a Christian more authentic to me if God actually showed up and stood right in front of me? Now, can the Son of God do that? Yeah, he's God. He can do anything he wants. But for some reason, he has told us not to look for these things. In fact, he even warns us about them, not to go after these things. Listen to what he says. If anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. A few years ago, I remember reading on the internet that there were 19 people in the city of New York who claimed to be Jesus who had returned, just in the city of New York. The only light that we need to really know and understand God is to be found where He has directed us, and that is to His Word. His boring, dry, old-fashioned Word that doesn't seem very exciting, that the world mocks and makes fun of, and that we sometimes maybe think, even in our lives, sad to say, isn't so fantastic. But it's those beautiful pages of Scripture, inspired by God through the prophets and the apostles, where God the Holy Spirit has implanted His truth for us to know, and to know God, and to see His Christ. It's through that Word that His light shines into our hearts and exposes the evil in us that would have kept us out of heaven, but also shines the beautiful light onto the gospel of what our Lord has done for us to atone for every sin that would make us afraid of dying, that has washed them away in His blood, and has given us the sure hope and promise of everlasting life in heaven. And so, as boring as that Word may seem to us sometimes, as old-fashioned as it may seem to us sometimes, this is how God commands us to look for Him and where to find Him in this fallen world. And so if this is where God has chosen to come to us, we should be glad and excited about it. Martin Luther once said, "If God told me to go out into a cornfield and pick an ear of corn and eat it to find Him, I better do it." He has sent us instead to the pages of Holy Scripture. And Jesus, our Lord, is the one who says to you and me, "If you continue in My Word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen.